Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Are you ready for the word? Amen and amen. Let's turn to Hebrews 12, 28, 29 from the NIV version. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen? Say it with me. Our God is a consuming fire. Today is part four. Part four of Breakthrough Fire Falling here at Nairobi Lighthouse Church. This text reminds us that you and I are associated and we are made a part of a kingdom like no other. A kingdom that cannot be moved. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. It is firm. It is stable. You are in good company. Can I hear a good amen? We all need the fire of God today more than ever before. And just to remind us, Pastor Don began this series for us so powerfully and we were able to learn some things out of that. First of all, that the fire of God is a symbol of deity. That where God is, you're going to find fire there. Much fire. That the Holy Spirit is a spirit of burning according to Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 4. And then he challenged us, what does fire do? Let's refresh our memory. Fire purifies. Fire strengthens. This applies to all of us. Fire lights up the darkness. Fire comforts. Fire advertises itself. Fire demands response. Fire intimidates the devil, your enemy. And also if you hate snakes, it chases snakes away. Fire communicates the gospel. Even like in the upper room, after the fire fell, the gospel was preached. Hallelujah. The very same day. Hallelujah. Fire advances. Let me tell you, you cannot stop fire. When it's moving, it's moving. But fire advances. And let me tell you, when the fire of God falls on us today, I believe that we will advance the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. Everybody say, let fire do what fire does. Then 3 weeks ago, we had from Pastor John, his message, we gleaned the following. The fire of God guides, just like the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel in the wilderness, keeping them from getting lost. Secondly, the fire of God overcomes. It overcomes darkness, any form of darkness. And so the Israelites could travel, giving them advantage over their enemies and enabling them to advance and to move forward. Come on, that fire will help us. The fire of God, number three, protects. It protects, it provides warmth. It provided warmth and protection in the night for the people of God. Then we learned from Pastor Kevin last Sunday, as he ministered from the story of the fire falling on the altar of Elijah. He taught us this, that the fire of God, number one, separates. The fire sets us apart, and it also separates us from the world. Shout amen. The fire of God consumes, and after the fire fell, nothing was the same again. It leaves everything different and everything marked by it, marked by fire. Amen. How many of you want to be marked by fire? Amen. That's why we're all here today. Amen. We want God to do what God can do. The fire of God, thirdly, confirms. He confirmed who he was, that he was a true God, negating that which was counterfeit. You know, he is the God who answers by fire. Let fire do what fire. Can you appreciate these pastors, Pastor Don, Pastor John, Pastor Kevin, for just such anointed preaching that has brought us thus far to this place? Hallelujah. So we all need the fire. But how do we get this fire? Back to our scripture. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Be thankful. Just like it sounds, thankful. I guess it's pretty obvious. Full of thanks or thanksgiving. It is the feeling of being happy or grateful because of something. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 tells us from the King James, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In every circumstance, in every situation, whether it's good or not, whether it's raining or not, no matter whether it's dark or it's full of light, no matter whether you're going through trouble or you're having a heyday, let me tell you, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks. Never let those who are not grateful soon begin to complain about everything. Fire will not fall where there is complaining, where there is bitterness, and where there is ungratefulness. Never let the things you want make you forget the things you have. Amen. I don't know what you have, but I'll tell you what you have. We have a God who lives for us, fights for us. Come on, who does everything for our good. Shout amen. And I want to tell you, Pastor Kev told us here that, you know, when we come into the house of God, we should remember who is here. This is not, we're not talking about a president or a CEO of a company. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And therefore, right now, you know, Pastor Kevin said that as you enter, as he enters, as those dignitaries enter, people just stand automatically and start clapping. Now, I want to tell you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is here. You should do better than you do it for the president. You should do it better than you do it for any man. You should do it better than you do it for any leader. You should do it better. And while you're clapping, listen. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Thank God for who He is. Thank God for who He is to you. Hallelujah. He's our Heavenly Father. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the great I Am. He's the God of heaven and earth. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's almighty. He's omnipotent, omniscient. He rules and He reigns. And guess what? He still sits on His throne. He is in control. Shout yes. Amen. Thank God for what He has done for you. Not only who He is, but what He has done for you. He has provided you with grace. He has provided you with mercy. He has provided you with blessings. Come on. He's a God of victories. He blesses us with forgiveness. Salvation and healing is in His hand. He has answered your prayers. Glory to God. He's a God who gives joy and peace and favor. And guess what? He has given us His word. How would we be without the word of God today? Thank God that we can receive His word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, it's very, very important for us to realize this. The way you relate with God will always affect the way you relate with others. If you're grateful and thankful, you will also relate with others that way. If you and I practice and exhibit gratefulness before God, we will, listen to this, we will find it easy to do the same with others. Your family, your workmates, your friends. A story is told of a woman. This woman was in dire need. This woman had so many troubles that she decided she was going to backslide. And she told the Lord, before I backslide, I'm going to take some time and thank you for all the things you've done for me. And she said, thank you for saving me. I know it's some time back, but I still thank you because I needed it then. That when I was sick many times, and particularly on this time when the doctors had given up on me and my life, you healed me. He said, sometimes we had no food, nothing to eat. He said, but you gave us food. But particularly on this day, remember, we had nothing to eat. The door, we had a knock on the door. The person left before we could open the door. And what he left when we opened the door was plenty of groceries outside our door. It must have been one of your good angels, Lord. Oh, yes, and I remember when my boy swallowed a coin and he blocked the esophagus and he could hardly breathe. The doctors were preparing for surgery. As I was praying, he coughed the coin out. And she continued, oh, thanking the Lord, thanking the Lord. And then after a while, she said, hey, wait a minute. She stopped in her boots and she said, you've done so much for me. I can't backslide. I can't backslide. No time to backslide. Can I hear a good amen? Has God done so much for you? Has He done anything for you? Come on, when we praise God, fire falls. When we thank God, fire falls. Amen. Amen and amen. Judah was in trouble. And Jehoshaphat appointed singers to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness. Listen to what they were singing. These are the words of the song. Give thanks to the Lord for His love endures forever. I think that was the tune. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Moab, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Come on, you want God to defeat your enemies? Raise your hands and praise Him. He's a God of war. He's mighty to save. He delivers to the uttermost those who call upon His name. Thank Him. Praise Him. Honor Him. Shout yes. Number two, therefore, this is a scripture. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Number two, notice here it says, worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Number two, worship God acceptably. And he says, with reverence first. Reverence means deep respect and regard, profound admiration and honor. Deep respect, we need to respect God deeply, regard Him, and admire Him profoundly. And honor Him with all of our hearts. You know, sometimes I think that we treat God like someone we have a habit of visiting on Sundays. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 in the Message Bible says, love from the center of who you are. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. In other words, be real. Be real with God. Sincere, genuine in your relationship with Him. Nobody can fool God or trick Him. Why? Because He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows when you're telling the truth and when you're not. And let us not get too familiar with God. Kind of what happened to Jesus. You know, in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 55, and I read, this is what the Nazarene said, because he was from Nazareth. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And they even knew the sisters, Salome and the others. They quoted all that. Basically, they got too familiar with Jesus. Basically, they were saying this. We know you. We know your family. I mean, we know everything about you. You don't have much. In fact, where you come from, Nazareth, who knows? Nazareth is insignificant. And no Messiah can ever come from this place. They negated Him based on familiarity. They did not believe in Him. Familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity breeds contempt. Tell your neighbor, don't take me for granted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just to remind you, that's why when you share with somebody, don't forget it. Okay? Fire will not fall where there's familiarity and a lack of respect. For God, the God that we are talking about, will not tolerate it. Notice here, at the end of their reaction, Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, Jesus did not do many mighty works there in Nazareth because of their unbelief. Come on, fire could not fall. I mean, Jesus carried all the fire, but He could not bless them miracle after miracle. Every miracle could have happened that they had need of, but it didn't take place. Just a few, just a little touch, just a little flame. God forbid that we would go that way. The second thing that worshiping God acceptably is all about, one is that we reverence God, and the next thing is that we worship Him with awe. Which is reverential wonder, to be deeply inspired. It is amazement. Awe means reverential wonder. To be deeply inspired, it means amazement. A feeling of fear mixed with wonder. The question is, does God still amaze you? Or have we allowed ourselves to make God small in our own eyes? Do we truly desire Him and acknowledge Him as God? He is God. Do we approach worship with a casual, laid-back attitude? How do we come to the house of God? I love the way you clapped. I love the way you stood. I love the way you thanked Him and praised Him. But this ought to be our life. A life of devotion to God. Amen. You know, do we serve God the way we want or the way He wants? Doing things my way and not following the prescribed order or manner according to the Word of God. Even the best of us can be familiar with God. David forgot how God had blessed him. And he dishonored God, the God who made him king, by sleeping with Bathsheba, one of his soldiers' wife, Uriah. And God didn't do anything, waiting for David to respond. Imagine it took a year for David to repent and say, I have sinned against the Lord. So I want to ask you, in that space of a whole year, do you want to tell me that David's worship was sincere? Do you want to tell me that David was living right before God? This is a big thing. You cannot just get so familiar that you say, I don't have to tell anybody anything. I don't even have to tell God my problems and my troubles and what I have done wrong. That means you just gotten too familiar with who God is. And let me tell you, you know what happened. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 3 and verse 3, 6 and 7. David failed to follow the prescribed order and Uzzah died as a result. If David had followed the prescribed order of bringing the ark of God out of a home into the city of God, then this would not have happened if he had done it right. They put the ark on a cart. And you know what happened after that? Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to God. Guess what happened? Fire came. Not the good kind of fire. Let me tell you, we have to fear God. We have to fear God. Amen. Number 3, Elijah told everyone to gather around him while he repaired the Lord's altar. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 30. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 30. Repair the altar. Number 3, repair the altar. Be thankful. Worship God acceptably. Number 3, repair the altar. The altar is a structure or place used for sacrifice, used for worship and for prayer. I love the way we sang today. I'm an offering, a place of communion with God. Usually it was a raised place. That's why when the fire came down, you know, when Elijah's altar, that was at Mount Carmel. It was a mountain. It was a high place. Why high? Because God wants you to give Him your highest place, to give Him your secret place, to go where you cannot be disturbed, where people cannot stop you from having fellowship with me. Can I hear a better amen? You know, Elijah went there. Now today, the enemy is still trying to mess up the altar that is dedicated to God's worship. So let me ask you, what has invaded your life that has affected your sacrifice, your giving, your prayer, your worship, and your service to God? Come on, let's do business with God. Amen? Has your altar been left dilapidated, abandoned, pulled down, like Jezebel pulled down that altar, broke it? Is it hardly ever used? Is that the state of your altar? Listen to this. Fire will not fall on broken altars. That's why we must repair our altar. The place where God meets with us. Where there is no prayer, no worship, no sacrifices, there will be no fire. Amen. And when Elijah repaired that altar, with 12 stones. He took the 12 stones representing the tribes of Israel. He was restoring the covenant relationship between God and His people. God is a covenant God. And He will send fire there. Fire will not fall on that kind of an altar that's broken. Listen to this. Fire will not fall on altars that are out of order. So where are we lacking? Is it in our prayer lives? Was it? Is it in our discipline? Prayer requires discipline, which in turn helps us maintain order in our lives. What areas of our lives are out of order? Are we living an ordered and disciplined life? Because an ordered and disciplined life will prepare us for the fire. Amen. And finally, let fire fall. Number four, let fire. Come on, say it with me. Let fire fall. Okay, just a minute and then we're finished with this. Let fire fall. The Bible says that in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38, then the fire, come on now, then the fire of the Lord consumed, it fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Let the Lord be God today as we let the fire fall." Now listen to this. I just wrote this very quickly. Why did the fire fall? Because a man prayed. When did the fire fall? Timing. When everything was put in order. What did the fire do? It accomplished what no one could have accomplished. The impossible. What was the impact? Worship was the result. Glorifying God was the result. Change of heart was the result. Change of ways was the result. Let the fire fall. Amen. Amen. Our lives are an offering, and we must allow the fire to fall on our lives. And we must allow the fire to do what fire does. Amen and amen. Let the fire touch every area of our lives, removing everything that dishonors God and that stands in the way of His glory. Let it purify areas of entertainment, behavior, wrong behavior, and even choices that we make, that we know we are making. Let us obey when God begins to move. Amen. I know He's speaking right now, but He's ready to move. Father, we just want to thank You. You know, the only way for that fire to fall, first of all, and I know many have been preparing and many have been praying. I know many have been preparing your altar, but there may be somebody here, you're not ready. You just came in. Let me just tell you, put your life in order. Set your altar in order. Set your heart in order, because God's fire is coming one way or the other. Amen. And today, I just want us to begin to pray. Just raise your hands. Let's just begin to pray. Father, we ask You even now to forgive us. We ask You even now, oh God, Lord, to begin to move. Forgive us where we've been ungrateful. I pray that, Lord, You're covering sin today. The blood of Jesus. Father, forgive our complaining, our bitterness about everything, even the government and everything, Lord. Yes, we have a right to speak, but Lord, not to complain, not to be bitter and ungrateful. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, You will forgive us, cleanse us. God, begin to ask God to forgive you if there's any sin right now in your life, even as I'm praying. Come on, let God take control. Let God take charge of our hearts and our lives. Let that altar be sanctified. Let that altar be made pure. Only You can pray. Fire will not fall until someone prays, a man or a woman prays. The altar is Your heart, and the fire is about to fall. God, we pray for a cleansing. We pray for a purifying work of the Holy Spirit. Purify Your church. Purify Nairobi Lighthouse Church. Here we are, standing in the need of prayer. Forgive us for irreverence, Lord. Not reverencing You, not honoring You and regarding You, not admiring You, oh God, and Lord, and even and respecting you the way we ought to, Father. We've taken you too lightly. Lord, we deal with you too carelessly. Forgive us for our careless attitudes. My God, forgive us. Deal with my heart. Deal with our hearts, oh God. Take away, my God, the sin of familiarity, the lack of respect, oh God, for authority, and most importantly, even the authority of God. Purify and purge us with your precious blood in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you. We want to praise you, oh God. Lord, that you will become a wonder to us, an amazement to us, that we will relate with you, my God, with feelings and emotions that are mixed with wonder and joy in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you and we honor you and we proclaim your name and your praise in the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive us for doing things our way, going our way. Lord, forgive us, my Father. Lord, for seeing things the way we want to see them. Lord, I pray even now that, Lord, you are dealing with us and forgiving us. Lord, we thank you for a spirit of separation. Separate us. Forgive us for, Lord, being joined with the world. We have become one. We have been sucked, Lord, by a spirit of worldliness. And Lord, we don't even know why our fire is dying and ebbing away. It's because we are not regarding our separation. God, you separated us. When you called us, you set us apart to be your people, your covenant people. My God, today, restore your covenant people. Bring us back together, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And let your fire come and consume the sacrifice. God, I know that many prayers have been prayed this week. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.